Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. Hey guys, so this is part two. Make sure that you listen to part one first because we did a little something differently and all the rules were explained at the beginning of part one. All right, let's move on to Indiana. Hugo, this one's all yours.
Ooh, Indiana's a good team, man. It's so deep. Yeah. I like this. I like going over the roster.
Got you a
it was
good
tough
one.
To choose. I had Oladipo and Turner, I think, are maybe easier choices. And then the rest was tough. I took kind of a swing. I put Aaron Holiday because I think he has a chance to be good. But obviously they have a ton of other talent that are, like, pretty decent contracts, around $10 million. 10 to 15, like Sabonis is really good. And then they have a bunch of other solid guys, Thad Young. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I had Thad Young on as my third to go with Oladipo.
Wow. You guys are crazy, man. How do you not choose Sabonis after last year?
I just like Thad Young, man.
He's on a rookie contract. He's arguably better than Thaddeus Young already.
He's not. That's
he's arguably better right now.
He's not nearly as good of a defender, and offensively, he's not there. He's a solid big man. Like, he's a really good big man, but he's not versatile whatsoever. Let's chill.
Indiana was also going after Aaron Gordon in the offseason, so I don't think they value Thad Young. I mean, he's a good player, and he is switchable, and he played really good in the playoffs as well. But I think Sabonis also showed a lot in the playoffs. He actually played better than Miles Turner throughout the course of that series, and he showed a lot throughout the year, too. Like, he has a nice post game. He has soft hands. He can pass. He basically does everything at a pretty high level, and he's still very young. So I think, again, he's arguably better than Turner already, and I think he has to be in your top three.
The issue with him is that he played against a lot of second units. Like, I fully saw him all last year. I watched him progress pretty well, too. And he was definitely underrated during his time in OKC.
He closed a lot of games, though.
Yeah, but not as... Not as a secondary guy, right? Their offense revolved around Oladipo and Collison going down the stretch. It wasn't really reliant on Sabonis, although he hit a couple of jumpers and, like, grabbed some offensive boards, but, I don't know, man. There's something about Thad Young. I like that veteran presence to go along with these younger guys. That's really why I chose him. He's one of those guys that you know what you're gonna get on a nightly basis. He's not gonna try to overshine anybody. And he just goes to work.
That's the only. He's so versatile. Like, he does so many things on the team.
Yeah, he's long.
Put him in a different lineups. He's long. Yeah.
But I could see why Sabonis would be appealing. He is really young, and he's
the age. Yeah,
he's technical. Like, he's so good technically.
Joshua. Doggy McBuckets is <you're> my guy.
Yeah, go back to China, Doug. Yo, did you guys realize that they're still paying Monte Ellis? $2.2 million.
Oh, really?
$2.2 million until 2022.
Wow.
He's still on contract for
anywhere?
Four seasons. What's that?
Yeah, surprised we haven't heard about where he's playing. Like, he's not in China, so he must be somewhere in Europe unless he's just chilling in Alabama, you know, driving his moped again.
He could have stopped playing, I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything about him either. He sort of just disappeared last year after they stopped playing him, and then... Oh, he was stretched. Kind of see a spot for him on some teams as, like, a 10th or an 11th man.
Yeah, it's sort of crazy how he can't even get a contract with another team. He seems like he's, you know, he can still play. He's only, what, 32, 33-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there, but... I don't know, I could see it. He's sort of a... He's a big ball hog. It's Monte. He's not the kind of guy I would want teaching my young guys how to play either.
As far as playing on the same level, competing every night, both ends, shoot inside, outside, fast break, transition. Montella have it all.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. I'm taking dibs on this one. I'm going back to my original roots of basketball fandom in Detroit. And this one really sucked. I won't lie. There's Blake and DJ. And that's about it. I don't know, man.
It's so funny how you call them DJ already.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Whoa. Okay, Andre Drummond, my bad.
Yeah, I was looking through the roster. I was like, what's this guy talking about?
Like, what is this team? I'm kind of tempted to pick John Luer just because I like him. Because I'm not sure who else I would pick.
Yeah, who's your third guy?
I wrote down Ish, but it's obviously not real. Maybe Kennard? Stanley Johnson?
I love Ish.
Ish is a good player. Like, he's a solid...
He's just fun to watch.
Yeah, he's fast. He knows how to hook his teammates up, but I wouldn't need to protect him. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't know, man. Like, I had Kennard, maybe.
Yeah, I had Kennard too, but at the same time, if you're choosing in terms of production right now, I think Reggie Bullock has to be your third guy, which is sort of sad to say.
No, I refuse to take Reggie Bullock on for another
He was good last year, though. He's a 40% three-point shooter. He shot 49% from the field, plays decent defense. Kennard has more potential, obviously, but Bullock is actually, he's a decent player.
It's because Stan Van Gundy hates young guys.
Well, he still produced while he was out there, though. You got to give him props for that. He was one of the most consistent starters for that team, which is not saying much, but, you know.
Kennard would have produced more, man. I'm telling you. I like this kid. He's a shooter.
You know, I'm going... I go with Kennard or Stanley Johnson, but I think I took Stanley Johnson over Kennard because I think he'll get a chance maybe to start next season with Casey. I think he'll be used like an OG, with maybe a little bit more offensive opportunity. He could be good. He's big. He's had a few years in the league. He knows his role, I think.
Imagine.
I think that's Stanley Johnson's problem, though. I don't think he does know his role. I think that I think that he hasn't really found his groove in the NBA in terms of what he's good at. And I don't know. He's not really good at anything. He's a good defender, I guess. But outside of that, what does he really do? He's a really bad shooter, and he can't really handle the ball. And he just has a long way to go, and he's just going into his third year, too, so I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go after his rookie deal.
Yeah, you're so disrespectful, man.
This guy hasn't been good.
He scored 84 points in OVO Fest 2 summers ago.
Were you there for
that? Peter with knowledge.
Did he invite you to his after party?
No, I wish he did, man. That would have been great. I would have loved to party with Stanley Johnson.
Is Damari Carroll there?
Yo, let's relax. Okay. I'm really excited to see Dwayne Casey coaching Blake down the stretch. Because it's basically going to be like Blake ISOs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible offense.
Yeah.
So basically what it was last year.
But worse. Because last year they had Ish Smith.
Josh, man. Peter, I'm never doing a podcast with Josh again. This is ridiculous.
Dwayne Casey is the DeMar DeRozan of coaching.
Yo, chill.
Oh, my God.
Yo, relax.
Pretty good regular season coach, but when playoffs come around, he just gets rolled over.
No, that's George Karl, all right? Let's chill out.
Yeah, I think, Dwayne definitely has his limits, I think. But, yeah, relax. Overly negative there.
All right, Jay. Or I guess both of you are Jay. Josh, take us to Cleveland. Take us to the queue.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say that anybody who thinks this team is going to make the playoffs is absolutely out of their mind. Because I had a really hard time choosing three guys. I mean, obviously you have Kevin Love and Colin Sexton, who was their first round pick this year. But after that, it's a really tough decision because there's a lot of trash on this team. There's a lot of like mid-level guys that are... I guess you could use JR just for the fun of it.
Come on.
But I chose Chetty Osmond as my third guy.
So did I.
And two restricted guys right now are Rodney Hood and Larry Nance, who still haven't signed their contracts yet and are probably getting a lot less than they thought they were going to get this offseason. They're not going to get market value, that's for sure. So they're probably going to come back on qualifying offers, and then Cleveland's probably going to lose them unless they offer them big money, which seems unlikely at this point. So I think you'd have to go with Chetty at this point as the third guy.
Yeah, Chetty's my guy too. I actually thought about Korver. I think he has some trade value because a lot of... some of the elite teams, they always want a shooter. Like, Lakers probably want him. you might be able to get some something back for him. But yeah, Jetty's probably a good pick.
I love that George Hill is still signed to like the second biggest contract on the team. And that's a team with Tristan Thompson making $17.5 million this year.
It's crazy. $19
million. Yeah, this is insane. This team was so poorly managed
over
the past few years.
Bad team.
Do you think Rodney Hood will get paid after showing up for like two playoff games this year? Like two finals games, I guess?
No, I think he's going to take the qualifying offer and then go into unrestricted free agency the next offseason. I think Larry Nance will get paid. I think he's going to get a decent contract. I think he'll get like 3 or 4 years at maybe, you know, $7-8 million a year. He'll get a long-term deal, but I don't think Rodney Hood's in their plans going forward.
You love Larry Nance, eh?
I'm a fan.
I see why, but I don't like it. I think he's going to cap out to be like Kent Faried, unfortunately. He's athletic. He's not really good on defense.
Yeah.
He can catch alley-oops. I just don't see it.
I think he's a much smarter player than Kenneth Faried, though.
Why,
think he makes a lot better reads.
No.
Yes, he does. He makes a much better reads on off. He's a good passer. He's a good finisher. And on defense, he's not that bad on defense, whereas Kenneth Faried's a turnstile. So I think that he's just a much better overall player right now.
No, man. When Faried was younger, we said the exact same things about him. It's because his athleticism makes him seem like he's a good defender. But he's slow on everything he does. He doesn't read it quickly. He doesn't rotate like to the right spots or often enough.
No, he's still inconsistent, obviously. But Kenneth Faried's one of the worst defenders in the NBA, and he might be out of the league in a year after his contract expires because nobody really wants him.
Aside from Faried's stupid contract, I think he would still have a place as much as Nance does. I really don't see the potential in Nance. I know people love it, but I think he's going to plateau very quickly.
Yeah, I'm with Peter. I don't see too much in him. He is better defensively than some of the other guys that have similar style with the athleticism and stuff, but he can't do much on offense. Even passing, I don't think he's that good of a passer. He's slow. I think he's unselfish, which makes him seem decent in team play, but I don't think he's that skilled.
Definitely, you know what's sort of sad, though, that Cleveland's actually in a worse position post-LeBron this time versus last time, because last time at least they had Kyrie Irving, and this time they have Kevin Love and a bunch of guys. And, you know, Kevin Love is obviously tradable, which they might even trade him this upcoming trade deadline. But at least last time you had the prospects of Kyrie turning into a special player.
No, they drafted Kyrie 2 years after LeBron left, though. Right? Because they had to tank the first year to get Kyrie.
Was it the year after?
Yeah, they had to tank a year to become the worst team in the league. Well, quote-unquote tank. They basically kept the same team, but without LeBron. And then,
well, I guess in that case, I guess they had the prospects of getting the first overall pick. I must have made that trade with the Clippers, so at least there's that. But this team just has no prospects, and their best player is a 30-year-old player. It was really good, obviously, but at the same time, like, he's going to get traded within 2 years, obviously.
Yo, stop talking shit about Kevin Love, man. I'm tired of this.
I like Kevin Love.
Everybody talks trash about Kevin Love too much.
He's not going to be the team in 2 years from now.
He's a good player.
I never said he was. He's a very good player. I just don't think he's going to be in the team in 2 years, if not after 1 year.
Man, you're disrespectful.
I think the roster right now, they actually might make the playoffs.
Oh, you are out of your mind.
I'm not even joking. Like, they have some veteran guys that can play. If they can get a few of the main players, some of the stars, to commit to the coach, I think it could work. Long term, they're screwed. But this year, they have a chance, I think.
They don't have two starters on this team.
Two quality level
starters. And don't bring up J.R. Smith, please.
I think, no, J.R. is over the hill. I think if Love comes back to like midway to from what he is, what he has been last few years, to how he used to be in Minnesota, and then you add Colin Sexton as a rookie candidate, rookie of the year candidate, and then you fill in the rest of the roster with some guys that are pretty decent. Jordan Clarkson come off the bench, score some points. God. George Hill can run. He can. He's a 6th, 7th man. He's not bad.
Oh, he's brutal to watch, man.
Jordan Clarkson was like one of the worst playoff performers of all time last year.
Like, God, borderline worse than Lowry and DeRozan were.
He was.
Yeah, but I think, he's playing on the Cavs second unit or with LeBron James. And he's a guy that needs the ball in his hand. So where is he going to produce on that team? Yeah. Like, you can't really give him any opportunity if he needs the ball. Like, who is he going to And anytime LeBron's not on the floor, they run sets to try to get shots for guys like Korver, JR, to try to get them going. So I feel like there's no opportunity for him last year.
I just think they're starting a bunch of guys that would be like 7th to 10th men on most teams. And then on your bench, you got a bunch of guys that would be at the end of the bench on most teams. So I just don't like the roster at all. And I think they're going to lose a lot of games. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up getting a top 3 pick in the draft next year, especially if Love is out for even a couple games. Because anytime LeBron was off the floor last year, like, they were awful.
It's true, yeah. They got to learn how to play without him. They'll have to retool everything, like the whole way they play. They'll have to go around Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess now Tyronn Lue actually gets the coach, so that should be interesting.
I think they'll still make the playoffs. I think you're crazy.
They'll be like, I will bet you whatever amount of money you want, the Cavaliers will not make the playoffs next year.
They'll be the 8th seed, but they'll make
No. You're crazy. They will not make the playoffs in the G League. Okay?
Who's going to go ahead of them that didn't make it last year? Because the 7 teams, other aside from Cleveland, are obviously going to go back. But who's going to go ahead? Atlanta,
right,
no.
So
Brooklyn,
you got
no.
Boston. You got Boston, right? You
no,
got...
talk about the teams that didn't make it, because we know all the other good teams. Atlanta, no. Brooklyn, no. Charlotte, maybe.
No way. Charlotte's terrible. No way.
Exactly. Chicago?
Charlotte has better players than Cleveland does.
Okay, relax. Chicago?
Oh, I disagree. No way.
Yeah, Josh, you're out of your mind. Detroit?
You don't think Charlotte's going to be better than Cleveland next year?
Detroit?
No.
Or New York? Which one of those teams is going to take that 8th spot?
What's Toronto's G League team called?
It doesn't matter.
The 905? I'll choose 905 over the Cavs.
It doesn't matter. They're G League players, man. They're obviously not NBA players.
I'm telling you, man, this team is going to tank next year.
They're not going to.
That's what I think, Josh. I hear your argument. I think they go either one of two ways. They either buy into the new system and they try to run around Love. If they get some of the veteran guys to buy in, they could be decent and make a run at the playoffs. Either that happens or they implode and just trade away all their... they'll keep Love, I guess, and Sexton, but then they try to unload a lot of the other guys like Thompson, Korver, to try to get future value. If they do that, then obviously they're going to tank.
I just don't think their veteran guys are any good.
Come on, like J.R.
Smith.
Korver can ball, man.
What's that?
Korver can ball. George Hill is still decent as a role player. Like, obviously he's not.
He doesn't play, though.
He's going to be a second unit guy.
And Colin Sexton is a rookie, right? Like, he's not going to put up good numbers in his first year. Like, he's going to be awful in terms of shooting.
He
doesn't really have
to. He just needs to give Kevin Love a post-entry pass at the wing. And then let him go.
You think Kevin Love is going to average 40 points next year? He might
have to. He's going to have to. He's going to average, like, 25.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But the rest of their roster is not good enough to surround him, you know, in terms of being a quality team. They might win, like, 35 games, but
that's all they're
going to
need.
No, the East is not that bad.
East is trash. As soon as you get to, like, Cleveland, but everyone below them is shit.
Miami's their only competition. I think Miami for the 8th spot.
Miami's a way better team than Cleveland.
Yeah, Miami's much better. That's what I'm saying. Cleveland is, like, the borderline 8th spot.
The thing is, we haven't seen them play, like, without LeBron, so it's hard to picture. Like, they'll have to, like, you're right, Josh, about finding scoring. I think that'll be tough for them. But
all
right,
here's
like...
a bet for you. The Brooklyn Nets will be better than the Cleveland Cavaliers next year.
I'll take that bet.
Easy.
I'll take that bet.
At least 5 wins.
Oh,
I don't know if I
want to
take the bet, because they might tank. They might give up on... I don't know.
I don't see why they wouldn't tank, honestly, with this team.
Man, you're out of your mind. I'm moving on.
Anyways, let's move on to a team that's actually tanked, the Chicago Bulls.
Yes.
Who is your top three, Peter?
I got my boy Lauri Markkanen, of course. Zach LaVine, who got paid this summer. And Crazy Eyes, Bobby Portis.
Oh, what?
Wow. Somebody else in the face.
What?
That have the best chemistry on the team.
Oh, man, I do not like these picks. I'd go Carter and Parker over those guys. Portis, I think he's solid, but I think he's limited too. I think Carter has so much potential. And then LaVine... I don't know. He's got injury problems. His salary is pretty big. I'd go Parker over him.
I wouldn't take Parker. I need to see what he's got.
That's fair, yeah.
And then
because
but same is true for LaVine though. Like he's been injured.
But he played last year though. He played more than half the year last year.
Yeah, but he played pretty bad and he played limited minutes. I don't know.
That's just the kind of player he is. He's a Seattle guy, man. He's gonna dribble, dribble, and then just go for a J. That's what they paid him to do. But I agree. Carter, I'm gonna make Carter my third instead of Portis. I slept on Carter and
yeah, he looks good in some.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah, I had the same three then as Peter. I had Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter Jr., and then Zach LaVine just based on the commitment they just made to him. Like Hugo said, I think I like Jabari Parker a lot. So honestly, if you look at both of their peaks so far, in the first couple of years, I think that Jabari Parker had a much higher ceiling going in before the knee injuries. And even after his first knee injury, when he first came back, like his 3-point shot was looking really nice when he first came back from his first torn ACL. And he played really well. And then he obviously tore it again. And last year he didn't look as good, but he has a pretty good all around game. And his defense is obviously deplorable, which, you know, LaVine shares that same quality with him, too. So they're very comparable players. So as a third guy, it's tough to choose between the two. But if you're picking in terms of contract, you'd take Jabari because he only has, like, the 1 year, the second year is a team option. But since they made the commitment to LaVine, I guess you would have to choose LaVine.
Was it both ACLs or one ACL that he re-injured? I think it was both, right?
I think it was the same one.
Really?
I think so.
Let me look this up.
Jabari for me just has the versatility. Like you can slot him in to a lot of different lineups and positions. LaVine's pretty like one-dimensional. He's a shooter and he needs the ball a lot. It's kind of tough, especially if you're trying to grow some of the young guys like Markkanen. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, going into the draft that year, I thought LaVine was going to be a Jamal Crawford type, and it still seems like he's going to be in that mold as a guy who's eventually going to be coming off the bench in his best role, I think. I don't think he's a starting shooting guard just based on his defensive, or I guess lack of defensive versatility. And he has a really good three-point shot, but he doesn't shoot it enough in good spots. He takes a lot of really bad off-the-dribble shots.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the contract situation makes it a little bit different, you have to consider.
Yeah, it'd be tough to explain to your fans that you're, you know, putting a guy in the expansion draft you just signed for 4 years and made a huge commitment
exactly,
to.
Yeah.
But I think the other guy you have to consider is Chris Dunn. I mean, he showed pretty good progression last year, but the problem with him, he has, you know, a big contract coming up, like a lot of the guys we're talking about. I think he's going into his third year coming up, and he hasn't really shown enough in terms of his jump shot. But his defense is really good, and his off-the-dribble game improved a lot last year, but we're going to see if he's going to be able to adjust being a secondary type of ball handler with so many guys in the starting lineup that can handle the ball. I think Markkanen should be like their primary guy, but I think LaVine and you know, other guys are going to be taking the ball away from him a lot in the starting lineup.
For sure, yeah.
Josh, you were correct. It's the same knee.
Yeah, that's tough. He looked pretty explosive, though, in the first round last year, so hopefully he'll be able to continue that and hopefully not re-injure it again.
Yeah, here's hoping, man. Hopefully that home cooking in Chicago will get him over the hump. Talking about Chicago is depressing. Let's move on to an equally as depressing team in Chicago.
A more depressing team.
Josh, go for it, man.
Honestly, with this one, I only had three guys that I even looked at, so I think you have to choose Kemba Walker first, obviously. And then Malik Monk, their first-round pick from last year. And then their first-round pick from this year, Miles Bridges. I don't really see anybody else on this roster you would want to really hold on to. They've been trying to get rid of Batum the last couple of years with this massive deal. And they don't really have anybody else that you would consider a keeper, even a starter. Because Marvin Williams has been okay as a starter, I guess, but he's more of a bench player. And MKG, as much as I liked him going into the draft and his first couple of seasons with his great defensive versatility, he just hasn't shown enough on offense to be considered a guy you'd keep in your top three.
You don't like former UConn Husky and NCAA champion Jeremy Lamb?
No.
I agree with you. I got the same three. I just like the Huskies, so I gotta shout my man out here. But I agree. Kemba, Monk, Bridges, that's it. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else to this at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think I feel like Kaminsky deserves some respect, but you can't really take him. I think Bridges just has the potential, like the future values, and take him over some promise Kaminsky's shown.
Yeah, and I think they're going to give him an opportunity this year to start at the center, which he hasn't really had the chance to do yet. He's mostly played power forward his first couple of years, and he hasn't really shown enough at that position. He's not really skilled enough to get by quicker guys, and his three-point shooting's been okay, but I think he'd be better suited at the five, so get to see if he's actually able to step up and, you know, hopefully help Kemba out in that starting lineup.
Yeah. All right, I'm bored of Charlotte, man. To be honest, it's a very boring team. Let's go to Brooklyn. Lots of young guys, and Hugo, I want to know what you think about this team.
Yeah, I was saying, I guess you have to go with Russell. I don't really like him as a player, but he's their most talented guy.
Yeah.
And then I take Jared Allen. He's got some potential. And then the third one's kind of tough, but I feel like you'd either go LeVert or Dinwiddie. I went with Dinwiddie. I just like watching him play.
LeVert's
a bit awkward for me. He's got some potential. He's young and stuff, but I don't know. I can't see. It's hard to picture him growing into a star or anything like that. Dinwiddie's just solid.
Yeah, I got the exact same three.
Really? You guys didn't even consider Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I thought he took like a big step last year. I thought he was pretty good last year.
I actually saw Rondae Hollis-Jefferson playing last week in the Crown League in Toronto. So it's basically this Canadian Drew League is what I like to call it. I saw him playing and like he was nice, but he wasn't as dominant as I thought he would be.
And he's yeah, but you're talking about an exhibition game, right?
That's true. That's very true.
He started at power four for them last year, and he was really good, I think, throughout the course of the year. He showed a lot of good stuff. Like, he's a really versatile defender. His shot is getting better. Like, his mid-range shot is actually pretty good now. He's not a three-point shooter yet, but he's a guy you can play in any type of lineup, and I thought he showed a lot last year in his improvement.
Yeah, it's true. His defense is insane. Like, he's such a good defender instinctually, and he's super athletic to go with it. So, for me, it was...
Yeah, my only question mark with this kind of exercise is, would you take D'Angelo Russell at 4 years, maybe 70, 80 million, which is what he's projected to get if he, you know, produces at a decent level next year and him being so young? Or would you take a guy like Caris LeVert, who might make, you know, 3 or 4 years at a much lower number at 7-8 million a year? Because I thought Caris LeVert actually outplayed D'Angelo for, you know, at least a quarter of the season last year. And I don't really think you want to be paying D'Angelo Russell that much money, so who would you take in that situation?
I still go with Russell, though, just because of the potential. Like, you can see that he has star potential. He might not end up being much, but you can see him growing into that. He's got just the talent.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say no to him. But at the same time, he's also... I think he's got a hard ceiling. And he's a snake. I don't like guys who snitch on their teammates. So it was really difficult for me to choose him. But the raw talent is just there.
And they don't have much else. Like, a lot of the other guys are just, they have potential, but they're all ifs.
He's the most proven out of the young guys, for sure.
Yeah, like, you got, again, like, it's an NBA team. You got to have some talent. And it's not like their salary cap. Like, they can get rid of guys, and they want to attract people, so you need some talent on your team.
Yeah. Josh, who did you have on yours?
I had Jared Allen, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, and D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah. You didn't like Spencer, right?
I like Spencer, but he's a backup. He's a backup guard, right? Like, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson can actually be a starter going forward, so I think, and he's younger, so I just don't see how you choose Dinwiddie over him.
Yeah.
Rondae's pretty good. Yeah, he's like a young Thad Young almost.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, that's exactly what he is. Down to being a lefty, too.
I gotta give a shout-out to my Bosnian guy, John Musa. That guy looks pretty solid. There aren't too many, he's a rookie coming in. Actually, I don't know if he is going to come over this year. But there's a few YouTube clips you can find of him playing in the Croatian League, I think, or the Adriatic League. And he's young, and he's a little raw, but he's got some talent. You guys check him out.
Yeah, I've never heard that name before, but...
I think he went, I think he was first round.
Oh, really?
Damn. Yeah.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, but he's not too well known outside of that region, I guess.
Yeah. All right. let's keep it rolling here. We're close to the end. Let's go to the Boston Celtics. Last year's Eastern Conference finalists, along with the Cavs, obviously. And I'm going to take over this one because it's pretty hard to choose with this team, man.
It is.
Yeah. I'm going with Tatum and Brown for sure. And the third one's probably going to be Kyrie, but I don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to go someone else.
I don't know, man. I kind of like Kyrie, and I kind of want to do Hayward too, but I don't know. I'm in the air between the two.
Oh, I think you got to go Kyrie over Hayward for sure. That's just me. I don't know. He gets paid less. He's younger.
For now. Kyrie's going to get like 35 once his re-sign is up.
Fair, but like Gordon's already like at 31, 32. He's a little bit older, and his injury seemed more serious to me. I don't know. I feel like Kyrie's definitely the guy.
I don't know. Kyrie's like habitually injured, though. Like every year, it's something small that nags at him every time. And he's never had like a full season of being healthy. That's the only kind of thing that really worries me.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I don't know. He's a talent, man. You can't.
Oh, he's special. Also, I don't know about his movies either, though. I haven't seen it, but I can't picture myself supporting that kind of thing.
It's got a great voice, though.
He does. He can sing. I've never heard Gordon Hayward sing, but I'm sure it's not as pretty. Josh, who do you have?
Yeah, the same three, too. I think the only one that you might consider taking out is Kyrie, just based on him possibly getting a Supermax and him having a lot of knee injuries in the past couple of years, and replacing him with Horford. Because Hayward, obviously, with his injury coming back, I don't think that, you know, an expansion team would be taking a chance on him with his contract number. So, I think you'd have to choose Kyrie as the third guy.
What about Scary Terry? No love?
No love.
No way, no. Not for this exercise, anyway. Guy's solid. He can back up.
But. Yeah. No one worth protected? All right. Well, let's move on. The last team that we're finally ending this with, the most exciting of them all, the freaking Atlanta Hawks. Josh, take it away.
Man, they had a disastrous offseason, but they got their guy. They got Trae Young. So.
They got Vince, you mean.
Oh, yeah. They got Vince, Mr. TNT announcer.
Yeah. Good man.
But, yeah, I think the Hawks, like a lot of other really bad teams, they have their three guys, and there's not much beyond them because they're trying to keep their cap flexibility. So I think you'd have to choose Trae Young, John Collins, and Torian Prince. I don't really see anybody beyond that, besides maybe VC.
Yeah, I would keep VC just for the namesake over Trae Young, but they're not going to let go of Trae Young, so. Come on, man, it's Vince.
Oh, they have Jeremy Lin now, don't they?
Yeah, yo, man.
Yeah.
Poor Jeremy Lin. Last two years that he's played, first game of the season, he's got, like, season-ending injuries. Poor guy, man. Like, he's getting paid, but damn, that sucks.
Yeah, he needs to get some, like, prosthetic legs or something. Leg sanity.
Wow, very good. Very good. Hugo, do you have anyone different here?
No, you guys got it.
You don't like Dwayne Dedman?
No, yeah. he was solid for the Spurs, but...
Yeah, he's nice now, man. He can shoot threes and stuff, like... He's expanded his game a lot. Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
I'm surprised nobody went after him in free agency. He seems like a pretty good backup center.
He is. He's got one more year, right? He signed a 2-year with Atlanta.
I thought that he signed in the offseason. Well, if that's the case, I'm surprised nobody traded for him then, because he seems like a good fit in a lot of teams. He could be like an Aaron Baines type of guy for a contending team, I think.
Yeah, it's probably because no one watches Atlanta, including NBA executives. Nobody really cares. But that's about it. I think we finally finished the Eastern Conference. Next week we'll be releasing the West, which I'm sure will be much more invigorating and might have to be split up into two podcasts, to be honest. But until then, I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. And, find us on Twitter, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. And until next time, peace.